And I read through the Psalms, and one of the things that's repeated consistently is the psalmist is crying out for God to hear him. Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Psalm 39, 12, Psalm 54, 2, Psalm 61, 1, Psalm 88, 2, Psalm 143, 1, hear my prayer. Scripture tells us in Psalm 102 that God regards the prayer of the destitute. A broken and contrite heart he will not despise. We know that he hears the humble, but I'm going to encourage you today and give you four reasons why he wouldn't hear you. So if you turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 66, we'll start off with this particular passage. Why would God not hear my prayer? If you'll look with me in Psalm chapter 66, and we'll begin in verse 16. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Watch verse 18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The scripture is very clear that he's not going to listen. Now the question is, what does he mean by wickedness? And the word that is used, I think the way that King James translates it is iniquity. But it is an interesting Hebrew word, avan. In fact, it's actually used in Hosea, in particular in Hosea chapter 10, where he makes reference to a place called Beth Aven. And Beth, we know, means house. House of Aven. What is Aven? Well, Aven was an idol. And so what he's talking about within the passage is that which we would love more than God. And it's interesting that Aven actually can be translated in so many different ways. One of the ways that it's translated is that it could be emptiness. Of course, the fact is when you trust in that which is not true, you're trusting in emptiness. That's why Scripture says, if you trust in the Lord, you won't be disappointed. The problem with idols is people would put all of this effort in idols, and God goes, you're just going to be disappointed. You know, I mean, you might make an idol that has ears, but it can't hear. You might make an idol that has a mouth, but it can't talk. It doesn't love you, and it can't do anything for you. It doesn't control anything. If you made it with your hands, what do you think? It really can. So the fact of the matter is that there are so many other things that we love more than God. And then we come to prayer and he goes, I'm not listening. You know, the way that it's put in James chapter 4, you adulterers, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And what he's basically saying is, you can't come to me and say that you love me when you love these other things more than me. And we come in prayer, and our thought is that, well, he's going to hear us, you know, just because I'm throwing out some words. And he goes, no, you need to love me. You need to be real about this love. So I would say the first reason why he would not hear is when you love something else or someone else more than him. He's not listening. The second passage is found in Proverbs. And if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, you have wisdom being personified within the passage, and wisdom is crying out. Of course, the wisdom comes from God. And so in verse 24, we'll pick up in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Because I called you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You neglected all of my counsel. You did not want my reproof. If even at that time, and this is wisdom talking, I will laugh at your calamity or mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Why? Because you hated knowledge. You did not choose the fear of the Lord. You would not accept my counsel. You spurned my reproof. So it's clear within the passage, if you refuse to do what God says, you know, you come to God in prayer and you, oh, Lord, you're so wonderful. He goes, why aren't you doing what I told you to? You know, And we have this long list of things that we think that he should be doing. Quite frankly, we're not even thinking right. And God says, I'm not listening to that. So it's very clear that he will not listen to those who refuse to do what he says. And then the third one is found in Isaiah chapter 1. If you look with me in Isaiah chapter 1. This is in the context of coming before God in worship. And Isaiah chapter 1 talks about multiplied sacrifices. How Israel was coming and they were coming to demonstrate, or Judah was coming to demonstrate some sort of facsimile of worship because, well, I mean, more is better, right? More doesn't mean necessarily your heart's in it. And so the passage reads this way in verse 11. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of the cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you appear before me, who requires this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Your incense is an abomination to me, your new moon, your Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals, your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in what? Prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Got to remind you of Matthew 6, right? The Gentiles think that just because of their many words and their multiplied prayers that their God is hearing them. But he says it's not about that. And so really what you have in this passage is disingenuous worship. If you're coming and you're not sincere and genuine, is God going to hear the prayer? What is it? We think that an omniscient God, an all-knowing God, is not concerned about how we feel about him. So we're just going to throw out our request in a cavalier way and think that that's okay with him. He's the God of truth. Amen. So what do you think he demands? Truth, transparency, real, genuine, sincere. So it's very clear that God will not hear us if, in fact, our worship is disingenuous. And then the last, if you look with me in 1 John chapter 5, and it's just good to be reminded of these things, and it just so happens that in this particular service, we're going to be talking about prayer. So to compliment it, I thought it would be a good way to look at this. 1 John chapter 5, if you look with me in verse 14, it reads this way. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request with which we have asked from him. But if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit not a sin leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. Watch the phrase here. I do not say that he should make requests for him. It goes on and says, all unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin not leading to death. I know you're probably asking, what sin is that? Probably he's making reference to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 17, in which he talks specifically about those who set out to destroy the church. He says, I'll destroy you. And so he's not. And you kind of see that as well in Hebrews chapter 6, where he talks about the fact that you continue sin, even though God has graced you with all these gifts, and you take the things that God has given you, and you use them to hurt people. And God says, I'm just going to take you out. So it's an interesting thought that there are some prayers that God does not hear. And but it's a broken and contrite spirit. He will not despise. You can come to him any time. You come to him with humble humility and a humble spirit. He's going to hear you. Father, we give you thanks for the fact that you hear our cry. And you long to rescue us. You are the rescuer. That is your name, Yeshua. We give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen.